Hey team, welcome back to another episode of the Two Fat Brokers. I am Barney from Dubai.
Ben from Abu Dhabi.
And then we have two imposters or new people or competition, whatever it is you want to call them. Gentlemen, introduce yourselves. You first.
Okay, I'm Mark Richards from the network here in Dubai.
And I'm Gary from Strada.
All right, that was a lot quicker than I was expecting.
How much more do you want to know?
Well, to be honest, Gary, that was it. You nailed it. I was just surprised you didn't have to do another take.
Well, just for people who don't know, Strada developer, brokerage?
Real estate brokerage, pretty British, medium size. And
what's medium size?
I would say 150 medium. Is that right, Mark? Something like that.
I think you're touching into... It's a large there.
Feels
large.
Big. Enterprise. Yeah. It feels big, Gary.
Maybe being humble.
Feels big. I think 100 plus is a big, it's a big company.
Yeah, I'd say so.
60, 70?
Yeah, we're about 65 now. Yeah.
I think you forget where you're up to though, don't you? It's all just moving so fast and the next minute you're like...
Oh, they're in one door and out the other. Is that it? The conveyor belt?
Bit of that, yeah.
Okay, well that actually leads us nicely on to the topic of today's conversation. We are going to talk about how to build a real estate company that people actually want to work for. And I actually think we all have quite unique standpoints in this argument because I own a very small real estate company. We're 12 brokers. You're about 60, 70. We've discovered, are about 120.
We're actually, exactly. 100, 110.
Then so you can't name them all then, all your brokers.
I actually can.
Party trick.
But it must get to a point though, really speaking. I remember one lad going on stage and he got a gifted an award by somebody and he said, go on then, what's my name? And the fella just went, ooh, I would
Jake.
Hate that. I would. Not everyone's scousing the company.
Yes, they are. Name one person who isn't scousing your company, and Filipinos don't count. Filipinos do count, but I mean towards this number.
Honestly, I can't right now.
Exactly.
Nathan.
Where's he from?
Manchester. Okay, fine. Close enough.
Ben, how many people in your company?
Agents, about 50.
There you go. Mm. So, all right. I would say your company is the newest out of the four of us.
Definitely is.
And when you set out, because again, you've got like, if you joined us last week, Ben didn't join us last week. Ben forgot. So Mark and I had a bit of a mare.
And he was late this week.
Yeah, we're actually 15 minutes late for kicking off. Mark, very quickly, tell us about the shape of your company because it's quite unique.
Yeah. The shape. How would I describe the shape? Look, we've set out to build a business that has smaller teams and more support. So three things that we built the business on were training. So consistent training, regular, in the diary. People can turn up to it, not turn up to it. If it's relevant for them, they're there. It goes from junior training all the way up to advanced, complex, you know, return on investment.
Not your will,
investment strategy. Wow. We're going there that early, are we? And yeah. Then online training. We've got an online education platform. People can pick it up as they want, as they feel they need it, rather than having to jump in a meeting room.
Do people use
training
it?
Session? They do. They do. Yeah, absolutely.
More than you think, less? Because we also do a bit of that and no one does it.
I think it depends how it's tailored. So we typically find that it helps people get up to speed within the company of how we operate. So I think it fills a lot of gaps. So if you're
talking about initial training there, as they come in.
Yeah, and I think one thing that we've done well within the business reasonably quickly is we've worked with a lot of rental agents who are boxed in their business, right? So we're still at the stage where we can be quite dynamic, the same with yourselves at that 100-ish. But when you're at a really sort of, what we class as enterprise, the brokerages that are now 300, 400, 500, 600 people, they have to be so in their lane on what they do, right? You have to be a Springs 1-4 rental agent and you can do two.
The argument remains with your company because basically your company is set up where you have a parent company and then you have subsidiary companies, for want of a better word, who all use the parent company's CRMs, marketing platforms, office space, managerial stuff.
Yeah.
So that in itself, so you've got one parent company and what, four or five companies underneath, almost operating as separate entities under an umbrella.
Yeah, and internally they all have the way we see it on the floor, although they operate under different trade licenses, they're brought into the same environment and effectively they have ownership, they have a brand. It's almost like a team, right? Internally they are seen as a team rather than a different business. So I guess in that way we are
unique. Do they have team colors?
They have logos and brands.
do they?
So yes, they do.
No team colours.
No, not specifically like that, but they don't wear, you know, team shirts around the office or anything. Oh, but maybe you in terms think about of that, they do. And then we focus on support. So support, we don't want big teams because, you know, I've run teams that get to a certain size and you've got 50, 60, 70 brokers under one person. Realistically, hoping that every single one is in one deal at a given time, how do I, as one at the time sales director, support all of those people? You can't, especially when you've got people who need you in, you know, quite complex and detailed scenarios. So that was it. It was training, support, and then finally understanding how to generate leads. And it sounds really simple in this market, but I think one of the biggest challenges now, certainly from when we started back in 2007 and 2008, was it's so digital now. You know, you guys, I guess, know more than probably the rest of us here in the real digital push, but just understanding how to get the best out of the
Do you remember what our CRM was?
It was an Excel spreadsheet, wasn't it?
Spreadsheet that the front desk would then delete lines of properties that had been removed, but only if you told them, I've just spoken to this guy and it's been sold, they would just remove it from the Excel spreadsheet.
It's wild.
That was it.
But just to understand how to remain a super agent now. It's like, yeah, you need it. And when you've got 50 people that are all trying to retain super agent status, just so
super
you can
agent
win
status
by one or two
is
status.
How quickly you answer the phone, customer feedback, what is it?
Property finder, isn't it? Okay. You have property finder, you have super agent, Bay Utes, you have true broker.
And it's just literally how quickly you answer the phone?
Many different metrics, yeah. So many metrics. Don't ask us, we haven't got a clue. Yeah.
Well, they've just changed it now. It used to be monthly, now it's weekly.
You've
so again, you've
deals
got to relearn
in.
It. You, yeah. You get points for transactions, you get points for listings, you get quality score, how quick you pick up the phone, how quick you pick up WhatsApps, and then that all rolls into a point system, and then that's reviewed weekly.
But to go back to the question, like the premise of the podcast, why do you think people work for you?
I think,
what do you offer?
We offer training.
But so those three things.
Yeah, we don't offer that.
But do you think that's why they work?
Depends, you later.
I think that's what you offer. But is that, you think that's a real reason?
I think if you ask most people, honestly, the bottom line is we have agents that say, I'm billing, you know, a million dirhams, 1.5 million, and I want to understand how to get to 3, how to get to 2.5, how to get to from 3 to 5. And the bottom line is, if you ask them what they think they need, well, they want training. They want to understand how to get to that next level. And if you've got people surrounding them that are working alongside them that are able to deliver support in that way, you know, a lot of that comes down to strategy. So let's train them on the strategy. Let's help them in the middle of a deal. So many people we've seen, just things like offer strategy is so incredibly poor. We interviewed, one stands out for me, a very well-known brokerage. And the guy said to me, I'm just struggling to close deals. I said, well, what's happening? And it goes through the pipeline, right? So you're getting listings? Yeah, I'm getting those. Are you getting leads? Yeah, I'm getting those. Are you going out on viewings? Yes, I'm getting offers as well. Right, what do you do when you're in an offer then? Because obviously the rest of it seems to be working.
Do they WhatsApp an offering?
And it was, hi, landlord name or seller name, I have an offer of this amount, and, you know, do you want it or not, basically. I was like, you don't, like, call them. Well, they don't normally pick up. No, well, call them if they don't pick up, say, you know,
and
I've
know
got an offer.
Not to message them straight after the call if they don't pick up.
Yeah.
There's so many different things, but obviously, you said it's a well-known brokerage, which you'd imagine that there is training going on, but we're the same. People come to you and they just, like, give the full offer straight away. There is a bit of pushing and pulling here and there, yeah, to get the deal done. As long as it's in your client's best interest, you've got to do whatever is in your power to get that deal done.
Yeah, yeah. And these guys were... But that was trained by the agency. That was what the agency was saying, here's how to present an offer.
Way.
And I was like, wow.
Yeah, crazy.
So in theory, they were getting training, but it was, you know, not on a winning strategy.
Okay, so the premise of what we do when we put forward an offer, and I know that some of my agents don't do it, is you have the phone call, I've got an offer for you, this is the top line number, I'm going to send you an offer letter, tell me what you think. Yeah. Here it is. You can print it off, or you can go and sit with them, and if they accept the offer, general terms, there's actually somewhere for them to sign underneath it. Because what I've always found is you get a lot less pushback when somebody's signed to say they agree to that. Even though it's top line, right? There's no, even says this letter is not legally binding, but once they've signed, yes, we accept it, then they don't, they mess around.
Very rarely do they go backwards from that.
So not to get into the weeds on offers specifically, but what you're saying probably is, you know, people come to you for the training, for the knowledge, basically because they want to improve specifically kind of their
business. Can I tell you what I know about your company, why I think people would work for you? Mm. I think what you offer is a boutique structure because you have companies under a company, but you actually have that feeling of being in a big office.
Mm. Yeah.
That's why I think someone would come and work.
But the companies are different. Like, it's not his.
But they're all in the same office.
Yeah. But they're not his staff. Like, so you do a powered by model, right? Where companies come and they put their brokers under you and you support them.
Yeah, so the brokerage is effectively... One thing that we established was that a lot of boutique brokerages, which is what, you know, the majority of us have worked in a larger brokerage like we have, we've then gone, right, we want to have a go on our own. And you start off as boutique and you don't realise most people that go into doing that predominantly have been a pretty good broker themselves, right? And they've gone, let's have a go at it ourselves.
Am I being ignorant here? But if I'm not really understanding it, maybe other people aren't as well. The network is the top part. And then you have companies. What are the companies' names underneath?
So we've got a couple of few are just under close signing now. But one example is a company called Family Homes.
Okay.
Family Homes DXP.
I've seen them. Yeah, they sponsor the kids football team.
That's right. Yeah, Elite. So, you know, they came in. I think they were a very good example of a business that was getting, you know, a lot of headwinds from dealing with the portals.
So this is buying power, what you said. Trying to do economies of scale, usually up here.
So they come into our tech, they come into our training, they sit with us in management meetings, and you know we define at the start how much or little they want to get involved.
Mm-hmm.
Straight away, what we've done is brought a group of people into the room that do cross-sell, they add value into the organisation straight away. But on the flip side, you know they're doing deals really quickly, but then they get to look at how a bigger structure and how we would do it.
That's really
interesting.
Deliver
results as well. So, you know, it's something that we've done. It's allowed us to, I guess, scale a little bit faster, but also it retains. I think a lot of people lose the DNA of the business as they get too big. I think it's hard to do that, and you know they get to retain that, but they get rid of all the crap that.
It's interesting that you say retaining the DNA because I know you guys do a boatload of stuff which is like team building,
mate. Honestly, like, it's wild.
The odd yacht party that I may have seen on social media,
the Christmas parties, when we were certain size,
but you
it was
also do
to
like
contain them,
running
you know
together
mean?
And fitness stuff together. Yeah. And
you said before about being a bit of a cult, and the when we started,
I never said
Strand,
cult.
You did say cult,
did I?
Yeah. Cult. Oh, cult. It was, but for us, we see ourselves as a marketing company that sell houses, and I think any company around the world should also see themselves like that. You're just a marketing company, you're just a brand, you're just corporate colours, and then you get into the other stuff. And I think for us, you said about building a company that people want to work for, and I think it's not just one thing all the time. Like it's such a competitive market that, you know, a garden home on the Palm Jumeirah has to have so many elements in this market to sell. Do you know what I mean? It used to just be, you know, 2-3 years ago, any garden home would sell. Try and sell one now. Do you know what I mean? It needs everything to the finest detail. And I think we're probably experiencing that as well ourselves. So for us, it's the market. And for us, it's personal branding. For us, it's training. It's the office. It's the leadership, the vision, the management. It's everything has got to be on point, I believe, to compete in today's market.
So I would foil that argument with, most sellers don't give a monkey's who the broker they work for, or that's working with their property, who they work for.
Yeah.
Right. We always argue that, you know, the company that you work for is just a name on a piece of paper that you hand over.
Yeah.
As long as you're the person who's actually producing the goods, doing the viewings, but, you know, treating them like proper clients, like they're something special.
Mm-hmm.
They don't care who you work for.
No, and so that goes into personal branding.
But the premise is that you create a brand that people then come and work for, but then they carry their own name into the market.
Definitely,
so your guys' premises will make a great place for people to want to come and work, and then what they do after that, as long as the training's right, is semi-beyond our control. We just want you to be happy to work for us, with us.
So why do people want to come and work with you?
I would say a lot of people say the marketing.
Because there's a few people left in Liverpool. Turn the lights off if you're the last one out.
Yeah, we're going to get them as well. But I would say the marketing is what a lot of people say, to be honest with you. They will say, I love the marketing. A friend once said to me, and it's always stuck with me, he said, whoever's got the best Instagram wins. And I thought, the world is about perception. Everything is perception in today's world. And if you're looking fantastic online in the digital space, the other stuff is just by the by. Do you know what I mean? And
So you can attract them say, like that, but how do you retain them?
Retain them. So we do assessments all the time, feedback surveys quarterly to the whole brokerage to see what they're thinking. It's an anonymous survey. You can usually work out who's who, like, but it's an anonymous survey, and that builds trust with them. We will always do a stock take of how sticky our brokers are. And you do go through periods, don't you, Mark, where sticky is like how sticky they are to your brand. You know, are they, when they wake up one morning and they've had a couple of bad months and they think, oh, there's more out there, because there is more out there. You've always got brokers just popping up out of nowhere.
Brokers very seldom look like they've got blame deep themselves, pockets and you quite happily blame the company.
Yeah, oh, it's excuses, isn't it? Do you know what I mean?
They'd rather make Strada mug.
What's that?
Does it start with the Strada mug in the morning?
And it's, you know, it's just how sticky they are. Do you know what I mean? Like, so we're just bringing something in at the moment.
How do you work that out?
Well, retention rates, first of all. You see who's leaving. And I think every brokerage goes through bouts, periods of time where you lose a chunk of people. Like, you'll be like, oh my God, we lost three people this week. Do you know what I mean? Mm. They've gone to that new brokerage that's popped up. They've gone and set their own up. Or they've gone back to the UK. So I think in them moments, you really start questioning, hang on a minute, what are we doing wrong here? And you're always too late as well. So you've got to, as a leader, you've got to live in the future. So you're trying to predict what's going to happen, you know, next quarter, you know, and you're just thinking about these things all the time, what the dynamic of the market's changing and stuff. So, you know, you've always got to put your neck on the line, haven't you, by investing first. And then, so for example, one of the things that we're doing at the moment, everyone's looking at personal brands. We've looked at our leads. I think 50% are self-generated and 50% are produced by the company, whether that's portals, websites, phone calls in, whatever it is. The other 50% are self-generated. So what does that tell us? Hang on. We're spending hundreds of thousands of dirhams on the property portals every month, but we're not spending hundreds of thousands of dirhams on anyone's personal brand. So what we were asking people to do, and we were discussing it before, people are paying. I've got a guy who's just came over to my office. He's paying 15,000 dirham a month for, like, I think he's doing like 3 or 4 videos on Instagram a week. 15,000 dirhams a lot. Do you know what I mean? At most brokerages, yeah, you've got to put 30,000 dirham on the board to net that. Yeah, it's crazy. So what we've done now is we've took a team of 7 people who are now looking after the personal brand. So we're going to have, similar to what your concept is there, Mark, you've got the business, then you've got the businesses inside. We're going to have the business, and then we're going to have hundreds of businesses inside through personal
branding. How do you stop them from competing against each other?
Internally?
Yeah.
What do you mean by that?
Well, I mean, you're trying to elevate a voice. But yeah, then you're elevating another voice, and they're just going to compete against each other.
Yeah, I think that's a good thing, isn't it? Yeah, to a degree.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, competition definitely. Sure.
You do, but what it's not competition against an individual. It's competition of an individual's perception that you're paying to brand. So you're almost fighting against each other. See what I mean?
It's like having two listings on Property Finder for like similar kind
not
of
for
units.
The same company.
Well, yeah, no, for the same.
You
company.
Wouldn't list the same garden home on Property Finder, know, or the business, have, or whatever.
Maybe they're
the
two garden
company.
Homes next to each other. You wouldn't.
Yeah, and they
both.
Don't share the same wife and the same dogs. It was all my personal stuff here. Do you know what I mean? Like, they do have separate lives. They're going to showcase their life. They're going to storytell and build connection with their audience here. And then these guys are also going to do the same. I think just to, you know, back it up, there is like trying to get unique content out there all the time. That's a challenge. Do you know what I mean? Everyone seems to be talking and shouting about the same thing on Instagram and TikTok. Do you know what I mean? How many times have you seen the UK compared to the UAE, or, you know, all these different things? It's been done a million times. So that is the challenge. But, you know, you've got to take these challenges on. Otherwise, you're just going to be the same as everybody else, right?
But then, so you think that your agents stay with you because you have this focus on branding and also their personal branding, and that's, they see that as real value?
Yeah, that's one of them. Yeah, definitely.
Because they were saying you have like running club and stuff like is that to get more community?
Definitely, yeah. That makes people stick here. Like, from any given day, any one of our brokers can go and do paddle, go to the gym. They can do. We've got things on every day, football. There's something on every single day. So that's one thing. Then you've got the training. You've got the leadership. Like, the people who run the company or own the company, myself, Jay and Gino, all great brokers in our time. Do you know what I mean? So that helps a lot as well. Like, the fact that we were good brokers, if they want to come to us and ask our advice, they really respect it. Just the way the office looks is important. We're in Dubai Hills, obviously spent a lot of money on it. The marketing, again, the portals, the management internally behind the scenes. I just think everything has got to be on point if you want to compete in today's market.
Talk to me about that NetJets TV screen that you put up. You had a big advert on NetJets.
JetX, yeah.
How do you quantify? So that must have been, I'm going to spitball a number, million dirhams, right?
More.
Okay, 2 million, more. Whatever.
I think, I'll just be honest, it was 1.4. I hate it when people don't talk about money, like, you know what I mean? I think it was 1.4 million over 12 months. And it was great for exposure, and it was great in that moment, and it was great for perception. Going back to it, at that time, I'm sure we had 2,000 square foot office in Business Bay. I think we were in the same building, maybe.
Yeah.
And it was perception. We looked huge, we looked mega, we looked massive, do you know what I mean? And that's what a lot of people say. In the digital world, you can grow cheaper, faster, more efficient. You can look and be perceived huge. If someone turns up to your office, it might be 300 square foot. Do you know what I mean? So going back to your question, we never done any deals off it. We got close to one huge one, which would have just completely paid it off. But I think it was branding and perception and the collaboration and being known with, you know, the same brackets as Jetex.
What about you, Ben?
What about me? What specifically?
Well, I mean, answer the bigger question. So how did you build a brand that everyone in Abu Dhabi wants to work for?
I mean, it's not really our brand, I don't think. And I think it's something that, and I was thinking about this the other day, I think I'm very clever. And I come up with all these very clever ideas. Yeah. I mean,
you went to Cambridge, you know, do you remember that?
Yeah, I don't know. Do you know that, Gary?
Yeah, I've heard of it. Yeah.
But actually, the reason why people want to stay and work with us is something very intangible, which is culture. And we never put any effort into culture, and we didn't like really think about it enough or very much. And so I'm interested in, like, you know, you're doing running and stuff like that. But, you know, the culture that we have in the company is very good, and people like it, and people like working there. Not for training or like the what we can offer them. Obviously, we kind of do that. But people just enjoy, I think, you know, the environment and the people they work with. And that's kind of happened.
What is your culture? About it. Culture's a great word. Everyone says it. But what is it?
So we like to think, well, I said, like, we didn't create it, but everyone, you know, can work together in terms of, you know, particularly in terms of doing deals and sharing information and being open with, you know, your teammates and we're all kind of in it, you know, together. But we hire people who other people like. We obviously have some kind of type where people kind of get on with each other, like on a personal basis. And
the
so
type is South African. I mean, I wind him up about Scousers, but you are 70% South African?
No, not at all. We've got 2 South Africans out of 50.
Really?
Yeah, hardly any.
Oh, they're just the ones on social media.
maybe. Yeah, no, we've got hardly any South Africans. But we've gone through phases of having Brits and South Africans and whatever. We're mostly Central and Eastern European these days.
No Scousers, no?
No Scousers.
Not transferred in.
Culture can't be good.
but people say, you know, when people leave a company, they don't normally leave the company, they leave the manager. And so, you know, we're trying to acknowledge that now and have, you know, managers who are like real people, and problem solving and basically just trying to maintain that culture. And as you grow, like you have now, it's very difficult to maintain that culture. And you know, Mark was talking about having those smaller teams and smaller groups and businesses within businesses and trying to maintain a more of kind of a village mentality in a massive company.
Yeah.
If you can do it, it's great because people like that. People like to have friends at work and people they can bounce ideas off and share, you know, stock and stuff like that with. And so, you know, the trick is then, if you do grow, how do you keep that? Because to be honest, I think you're doing it over a long period of time.
I think we're all... we're so fast growing. Oh my God, we're huge. How many brokers have we got? Like, is that something to shout about? Do you know what I mean? Like, if you look at, I'll name them, Allshop and Allshop, for me, one of the most credible firms in the whole industry, they haven't done it overnight. They've done it over 16, 17, 18 years or however long. Do you know what I mean? And if you actually put your company on their timeline, do you know what I mean? You'd be actually very proud of where you're at. And I think they've done it. What we've done actually recently was we took 3 recruiters, right? We had an office of a certain size and we thought, we need some more bodies in here, do you know what I mean? So we went out there, we started recruiting and the quality was low. For us, it's always been about quality and high standards. Always, always. Like our average agent per head, I don't know what the industry average is, but I know it's certainly very, very high.
Average age in Dubai is average 34 years out.
Is what?
Of person in Dubai. 34 years
old. No, you're talking about
I'm talking about commission per month.
Sorry.
What do you think the average? What do you think it is in the industry?
Just sales, or sales and leasing?
Yeah, just go for sales. Let's go for sales.
27.
1,000
dirham. No. You're talking about age. We're talking about money.
He said age.
No, no, he didn't.
No, average.
That's too many voices, man.
average agent per head.
Per month.
Yeah.
I mean, they're skewed in the fate. I mean, they're skewed massively by the handful of guys that are on 50 million.
Well, that's the point. Year, it's average, right? So you say maybe, let's say, 100,000 a month.
17,000, 18,000 real estate agents in Dubai.
Yeah.
I mean, there's some guys making nothing.
We're talking about sales.
It's a very... I appreciate it.
Somebody did the maths on the stat the other day, and I'm sure it came out around 20,000 per agent.
Actually, it's not a hard thing to do, right?
Figure. Yeah,
you can easily take the number of transactions on DLD and then divide it by, you know, by the
amount. A lot of those would be direct with developer or, you know, done in the majlis.
Well, I would imagine it's probably around 20, 25, maybe 30.
Not gross. Net, maybe. But gross. Even then, like, you know, it should be close to 20,000 gross. Just sales agents. Yeah.
I'll tell you what ours is. 90 to 100. 100 brokers doing 10 mil. Like, that's a fact. And we've only really got one out and out someone who's like flying, and we're talking he's just creeped over 10. Do you know what I mean? So it's not like there's 3, 4, 5 of these guys who are doing
What's
that.
What's he selling?
He is selling a lot of off plan. Yeah, off plan.
Okay.
Luxury villas off plan, I would say. Yeah.
I mean, that's a million dirhams a pop, right? You sell one, exactly, it's a million dirhams commission.
Yeah.
So he sold 10 villas this year.
And he deserves it. He's done so well.
Like, yeah, you would say that. Yeah. He's your biggest broker. You wouldn't be like, oh, that guy, what up?
No, but I think some people get a little bit lucky, don't they?
Wait for him to leave. Oh, no, he's a top lad.
Can you give him a little shout out?
What's his name so we all know how to poach him?
Yeah, so you were talking about poor recruitment quality.
Poor recruitment, sorry. Yeah, there we go. So what we've always believed in is quality over quantity, one step at a time. We'll get there in the end. I'm 33 years of age, do you know what I mean? I don't know.
Ancient. But I wonder what I'll be doing when I'm old.
I'm not looking on getting on a golf course or retiring, do you know what I mean? I've got 10, 20 years in me. If it happens in 10, 20 years, then that's when it happens, do you know what I mean? We don't need to rush it. And I think when you do rush it, so what we've done was we changed the recruitment. So we were taking one person every Monday, let's say. Do you know what I mean? Then we went, right, training room, 12 people in there. Let's train them this week. And then the Monday after, stick them on the sales floor. They just infiltrated the sales floor. And there was 10% of the workforce, which was brand new on that Monday. It looked different. The suits were bigger. Do you know what I mean? They didn't know how to speak. They didn't have a clue what they were doing. And we were like, oh my God, what have we done here? Do you know what I mean? Like, what have we done? You could just feel it was different in there. The Friday come. Our decisions now, easy life later. The Friday morning come. We just got the same people in the same room and just went, sorry, this just stops.
None of them?
Mate, I reckon one survived. And we were just like, this isn't working. Like, we're going to have to tell you to leave the business because we just needed to protect our own. There's no way we could have left them on the sales floor. It just weren't right. So we've gone back to...
How do you think that resonated with your staff? Because, I mean, imagine...
What did you say, sorry?
How do you think that resonated with the staff that
you had? They loved it. They absolutely loved it.
You literally decimated your company in a week.
Yeah.
Took out 10% of
your workforce. And they made the decision as fast as that. But they were the new people. To correct it.
Yeah, but still, I mean, for me, and I haven't been an employee for a long time, but if it would have scared the shit out of me, which is not a bad thing for an employee to be scared every now and again. But you're like, hang on a
minute. I think if they were like... quality brokers, then yeah, I agree. But they're all looking at, they're the ones who were looking at them going, Gary, what are you doing? We looked weak in leadership. Do you know what I mean? The vision did not no longer look
strong.
And
I'm sure you probably all know the answer to this pretty quickly. What's your attrition rate? How many do you lose a month?
I don't even know what that word means, mate.
How many people do you lose a month? how many people do you leave your company, whether fired or quit, a month as a percentage? Mark?
As a percentage, we are 3%.
About 5?
I'd say 3 to 5. Genuinely was thinking 5, 3 to 5, I would
say.
That's
pretty good.
That's
from 5. Companies that, let's call it 80 people ahead, for argument's sake, so just that average it
out. Well, actually, if it's 5 a month, that's half your workforce a year. So
it's higher rates or higher twice now. Mm. We're hiring experienced, we're hiring quality, we're hiring...
But you're saying that, but your attrition rate is the same as these guys who haven't mentioned...
I think these boys would be the same. No, they know what they're doing, no. We haven't got someone here who's...
I'm looking at this guy here. Can't even find his way with GPS to a podcast studio.
Do you know the really important thing for me is if you look at over the years of running teams or companies, the one thing that I've seen is it's the 80-20 rule. It's, you know, 80% of your problems come from the 20%, and the 20% that cause the problems are typically the ones that have just walked
through
the
80%
door. You know, you take them on the company night out, they go out on the yacht, and they're the ones that's kicked off with your top broker, and your top broker's in, and, you know, and it just is, it's, they've said the wrong thing to a client, you know, they've got the big suit.
I always knew the 80-20 rule, 80-20 rule to be 80% of your income is made by 20% of your staff.
Yeah, I think there's loads
I've never
of
heard
versions
of it the other way around.
Yeah.
You know, but 80% of your problems come from 20% of your team is quite often. I think you've got to be, you know, it might be more 90-10 on that. Yeah. But I've seen it when we've brought new people in. And what do you do? You know, if you think from an attention perspective, let's just for easy numbers say you've got a company of 100 people, 100 brokers. You bring 10 new people in, that's 10% of your business is now brand new. You go from 90 to 100. Well, who needs the most baby and who needs the most attention on the first day to do, like, they need attention on every single detail, what to wear, how to speak to their colleagues,
but
how
by
to
making yourself an attractive company to work for, you bring this headache upon yourselves. You cannot,
if you choose to bring them in. We do not bring in new brokers.
No, you leave that to Allsop and Allsop. You leave that to Espace. You leave that to these guys who you know are probably responsible for 10% of the flights out of London and Liverpool and Manchester, right? You know, they've got frequent flyer miles up the wazoo, these companies, and they populate the UAE market of brokers. And what will happen is they'll go into, call it Allsop and Allsop. They don't last the first month. They're left in Dubai. Hell do I do now? And then they go and work for a smaller company that's slightly less entry rate. And then if they start to swim, then they swim, and then they come and join you guys after 2 years. Yeah, but those bigger companies who are the guys that populate the market, they're the ones that, you know, ultimately, probably at one stage, your guys have all worked for.
Yeah. No agent joins our company unless there is a mutual agreement between a manager and the prospective broker that they both believe that they can be successful with each other. So if the agent doesn't believe that manager is able to put them in a position where they're going to, you know, be successful in this market, and vice versa, just doesn't happen, as simple as that. And I've been in many positions where I've been asked, you know, right, the flight's coming from Manchester, here's 10, 12 new people, get them to be real estate brokers. And regardless,
it's the modern day slave trade, isn't it? The old slaver rolls in his wagon at Emirates Airlines, and you're there going, I'll take that one, I'll give you 10 shekels for that guy.
not at the network.
Well, Barn, you haven't answered the question yourself. Why do your agents stay with you?
So in 7 years, they make a boatload of cash. No, in 7 years, we've had two people leave the company and we've fired three. But then, you know, if you do the maths, we're only 12 brokers. So
attrition rate's the same as ours.
Yeah, it's actually like very similar. You know, but we have 12 brokers. You know, we'd never get more than 15 brokers, ever. And the thing is, every Monday we all meet. Quite a few of them have had a few drinks, you know, together that weekend. And yeah, everybody knows each other. And that's the point. It's like I know the name of every single one of my brokers. You know, I know where their birthdays are. That's bullshit. I don't know where they're
but that's just a size thing. Like, you know, you could have a very small company.
It's an intimacy.
And people rotate through it the whole time.
Yeah, yeah.
Why do they stay with you?
It's trust and loyalty, isn't it?
Yeah, one of the things is I know, because it's an intimate company, I know that this broker struggles with listings. I know that this broker struggles with offers. I know that this guy can get offers but can't close them or struggles to close them. So you know the sweet spot of every single one of your brokers and the parts that they need help with. Mm-hmm. And it's very easy because they're small to implement the fix to make them a better broker.
So you're talking about training?
Specific training rather than everybody come in, we're going to talk about how to prospect for listings. You know, everyone come in, we're going to talk about how to close. Everybody come in and we're going to talk about how to, you know, how to do social media. Like, we don't do that. Everything that we do is tailor-made to the individual. And one of the three of us, my Fabrizio, who's the business owner with me, and then we have a new guy called Alex Wittgenstein, who's our new manager. Every single one of us can meet with every single one of our brokers a week, and it doesn't take a lot of time out of our week. So from our perspective, we stay small for two reasons. One is the fact that we can give the brokers that we have much more attention. And secondly, the market that we're in, is quite a small market. You know, we're dealing with 50 million dirhams plus. You know, and what you don't want is some of these big companies that do what we do on a mass scale. And I've said it before in podcasts, the backbiting in those companies is ridiculous, and we stay away from that, right? It's very simple the way we do business. If you put it on the CRM, it's your listing, right? If you co-list with someone, that is written down in an email to the management. And if it deviates from that, or you didn't write it down, then we arbitrate and one of you is going to be upset, right? So it's very simple. We operate in very simple rules. There's less grey area and people just feel a lot more secure in our company, I think. But also, same as you guys, I'm not taking someone off the slave boat, right? I'm not taking someone who's just landed. I'm taking someone who's got 3 years of experience. Not just 3 years of experience, but 3 years of experience as being one of the top billers for their company. Otherwise, you know, there's just no point in coming.
We actually deviate recently from that.
Why?
Potential.
Potential network is something that other people are good at nurturing, not us. We'll take someone and we'll make them better, but they have to come from a position of being excellent. You know, and again, the same with us. Our brokers carry our name into the market. You know, that's one of the things that's important to us and our brokers, is that if Aaron Sanchez, who's one of my palm brokers, you know, he goes into the market and, you know, he carries mine and Fabrizio's names with him. And
Crompton Saltini?
Not anymore. But point being is that people, you know, we've been in this market long enough. People in Abu Dhabi know who Ben Crompton is. People in Dubai, I like to think, know who I am and who Fabrizio is. And that our agents openly say, if we say we work for you, life becomes a little bit easier for us because they know the kind of business that we've done. So it's not only that we have to trust them with our names in the market. So that's our recruitment policy is very tight, very tight. And when they join us, they never leave. It's like Hotel California.
One thing that I saw a lot of businesses trying to focus on too much that we aim to change from how we operate is I think too many people are focused on the consumer as, you know, Sally and Dave looking for a home. We've built the business in a way that, you know, I guess my clients I would perceive as our agents. So I would see the agent as the person that I'm trying to service, because I believe that if, you know...
Like, that's your business, isn't it? Your business is recruiting agents and servicing them as your client.
Yeah, and I think so many people skip over and almost what you were... I can't remember exactly how you phrased it with...
Probably,
you know,
very eloquently.
I would have thought so. But, you know, mass recruitment out of the UK.
The slave trade.
But it's almost treated in that way that it's you know, you're there now, you work, you do the number of calls a day, you do all the things, and there's nothing wrong with KPIs and targets and goals. But I think it's like, you know, in many cases it's what does one individual need that's slightly different, and how do you make... I think we just try and provide so many different tools that filter into the different people. It doesn't matter what kind of business you operate, people have different challenges, different...
You have a mass market business model.
Yeah,
that's the thing. You don't have enough time to be all things to all men. You go, well, here's what you're going to be trained at this week.
Yeah,
it isn't what do you specifically need. I'm going to take an hour out of this week, 2 hours out of this week to make you better at your shortcoming. It is, that's what you got this week, which works. It's just a different business model.
There's no right or wrong, is there?
I think we might have been at this for about an hour, nearly an hour. So, I mean, unless anybody has anything else they would like to be forthcoming over, I think we're going to wrap it up.
Thanks Sounds for joining fair us this week, Ben.
Yeah, yes, you're Ben.
You're welcome.
Yes, Ben.
I went to Cambridge.
Is that why you were lost? Well, you went to Cambridge when you should have been here.
Yep.
Right, guys, thank you very much for joining us. We've been the Two Fat Brokers. I've been Barney from Dubai.
Ben from Abu Dhabi.
Mark from The Network in Dubai.
Gary from Strada.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.